The Stat Zone, eSports Podcast.
Welcome to the StatZone.com eSports Podcast. This is our third episode since we launched. My name's Alex and I'm joined by our usual suspects here in the office, Tristan and Tim. Afternoon, gents.
Hi.
Afternoon.
Okay, so we've got a lot to cover in this episode, so let's get straight to it. First off, we're going to be reviewing the last major tournament to take place, and that was the E-League Foot Champs Cup in Atlanta. It took place in Turner Studios in Atlanta, USA. And it saw F2 Techs bring home his third major trophy of the season. And I think this is a good time to bring Tristan into it, because Tristan had him as his pick to win. So, Tristan, I'm going to allow you now to come in with gloating at your success here.
I took a real shot in the dark there, going for Techs to win. But, you know, someone had to. And he just looked, again, the outstanding FIFA player. He beat Emis Tessari, who of course he'd lost to earlier on in the season. Had a bit of revenge there with a celebration and, afterwards, which I quite liked. I mean, a lot of standout moments, particularly when he scored in the final against Tuga with, it was four Elasticos in a row to score one of the early goals, and that sort of set him on the way. So I'm very impressed with my own pick there.
A great performance by Tex, as per usual. It's becoming the norm. It's becoming boring, really. Great performance by Tuga as well. Have to mention him. To get himself to a major final. He's made his way through the whole PS4 bracket, won the PS4 side of the bracket to get into the grand final. A step too far to beat Tex, but a great performance from him nonetheless, and he'll hope that he can take that one further step that involves him winning a major tournament when we speak about the next Foot Champs Cup a little bit later on in the podcast. You mentioned Emis Tessari there. Mm-hmm. He was my pick, and he went down, unfortunately. Did Emis Tessari, F2 Tex, got his revenge from the Gfinity Foot Champs Cup back in December when Emis Tessari beat Tex to advance to the final. I had Emis Tessari to win that one. But lightning couldn't strike twice for the Saudi Arabian, unfortunately for me. I'm going to go back to you, Tristan, again before I move on to Tim's players, and because you had one player to watch as well, and he made a bit of an impact himself in more ways than one, didn't he?
In many ways, yeah. Good old Kurt there. He's always good for a headline. He did well. His first major tournament of the year, got to the quarterfinals. Unfortunately, then lost to the Royal, which is, I think, it's a decent performance, really. A lot of unknowns about how he perform and whether he'd be a bit rusty. Obviously, he'd been playing online, but it's a different matter when you come onto the stage. I thought one of the highlights of the whole event was when he interrupted the interview because he felt he wasn't getting his voice heard. I mean, he's probably not EA's favourite person in the world, but
they did seem to keep the broadcast off him quite a lot following that.
They did, yeah.
I mean, wonder why.
He's very anti-establishment, so.
He's very anti-establishment. Look, he's made it very clear his thoughts on FIFA 19. To say he's not the biggest fan of FIFA 19 would perhaps be an understatement. He's proven in the past that he's a top player. You know, you saw how far he went in the E-World Cup back in 2018. So, obviously, this season has not gone the way that he would have wanted it to. But, he will blame the game for that. It's just not been his game. This was his only major appearance, and to be fair, he showed himself for his only major appearance. He made it a decent chunk of the way, didn't he?
Yeah, I think the scene's much better when he's around as well. Hopefully he'll enjoy FIFA 20 next year a lot more, and we'll get to see a lot more tournaments with him in.
Yeah, just, I think every sport or e-sport needs a character like that to break the status quo a bit, ruffle a few feathers. I think it's good news for
absolutely it's
exposure.
Great for us as well, as he always drops a line, doesn't he always drops a line for the media. He's fantastic. Right, Tim, your turn. We're going to go on to your player to watch, who had a really good run, and also your pick to win as well.
So I picked Nicholas to win, being the third to pick after having Tex and Desar already gone. I thought the next one of the big three would be the one I'd go for, beating in the console final, so a good showing from him. But I was more impressed, to be honest, with Tuga, and how he performed throughout the tournament. I thought his play style in particular was one that the other pros really struggled to get a hold of.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Definitely a quick word on him, because no one was really expecting him to get that far. But you saw how he set up in the kind of 4-4-2 formation, which isn't too commonly used. And he seemed to be quite an awkward opponent to play against for a lot of the top players, because they're not used to that system. Very, very good defensively. And I think we might see a few more different play styles coming up on the back of the success of that. As you see, there's different ways to beat these top players. He performed well in the final. He said that he'd never picked up a Xbox controller before in his life, but he performed very well. I mean, we're not sure if that's completely true, because you feel like these top players have at some point played on both consoles. But I thought he acquitted himself very well. and particularly his play style was something that stood out.
Yeah, completely, and I think he provided quite a blueprint to be able to beat Nicholas. And we said before on this podcast that once he goes back, you know, incredible defensive Nicholas, but once he goes behind, he does seem to struggle to get back into it. And a 2-1 victory in the first leg, followed by a 4-0 win in the second leg, 4-2 go over him, would seem to buy into this theory.
Yeah, Nicholas, one Argentinian. Second Argentinian was your player to watch, and he also had a strong performance on your TSN rankings. You know, he's been high up, and as such, forced you to tip him for a player to watch for this tournament. And he didn't let you down, did he? It was a good run for him.
No, I went for Iago. I went for Iago. Made the quarterfinals of the latest Foot Champs Cup before being beaten by Tuga, as we've just discussed. Made the semi-finals of the Foot Champs Cup number 2, so he's a player that I think once he may not make a lot of tournaments, but when he does, he seems to make a big splash. So he'd be one I'd be looking out for as the qualifiers come up.
In terms of my player to watch, I picked an old fox, so to speak. I was hoping that he could relive a bit of magic from the past. Unfortunately for Dieter, he did not come up with that magic. He was eliminated very early on in the tournament, and that's the last I'm going to say about that.
Having a bit of a barren patch, aren't you?
He is, and he said so as well on social media. He said he hoped, he's sorry to let everyone down. He hopes that he can, you know, FIFA 20 will be his game. His season is not over. He's qualified for the Premier League, where he'll be representing his club, Manchester City. So I hope for his sake that he can have a run in that. And his season may not be over yet. He could still qualify. If he can get into the Global Series playoffs, sneak in, then you never know if him as a chance. But I think it's safe to say, with a man of his pedigree, he'll be really gutted with how his season's gone. It's not been his game. It's not been many old players' game. You look at Guerrilla as well. He's not had a great season either. He didn't qualify for the Premier League. So it's been disappointing for a lot of players on this game.
But good to see new talent coming
through. Very much so. And that's what it's about. You know, it creates the strong competition and for FIFA 19 and for beyond into FIFA 20 as well. A quick word on the TSN rankings in terms of. In terms of what that does, I'm assuming nothing will really change in terms of the top players. Tex is going to be around the top, isn't he? Of course, with the win of the tournament.
Yeah, so Nicholas is still top of our rankings in the PlayStation side. Tex is still top on the Xbox side. Tuga, following his trip to the final, to the grand final, moves up into second spot. So he's climbing those PS4 rankings. And Restorata, interestingly, was our biggest riser, up 49 spots to 13th after he reached the console semi-finals. Back on the Xbox side, really just a bit of light shuffling went around, you know, the players up and down, but the top four still remains Tex, Megabit, Dull and Mike and Emma Stasari, with Philippe ABD being the highest new entry in at 10th after reaching the console quarterfinals.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to see how those rankings update after the next tournament on statsone.com.
Yeah. In terms of FIFA 19 Global Series rankings, of course, F2Tex is top of the rankings with just the 7,545 Global Series points. He's just a little bit ahead of second place, Emma Stasari, with 2,994 Global Series points. So I think it's safe to say F2Tex is going to be at the FIFA World Cup final.
I think he's in the bag, but it's not like he's letting up on his playing schedule, is he?
Indeed, yeah, and that's a credit to him, to be fair.
Well, he just tweeted out that he's qualified now for 12 out of the 12 tournaments this season.
He has, and you know it's commitment when he flies, goes out from Atlanta, gets on a plane, flies all the way to Liverpool and goes straight to the Premier League, qualifies for Liverpool and wins that as well. It says it all, really.
So it's all about Liverpool fans, really, willing to go the extra mile.
The Liverpool fans,
well, they've said before, that will probably be their only chance at a Premier League title this season, of course. Other rankings, don't say a thing, Tristan. Other rankings, Megabit is third. Enrazak, more on him later on, is fourth. Dull and Mike is fifth on the Xbox Global Series rankings. On the PS4, Nicholas is top with 5,710 points. We've got Stefano Pina in second. Joxan is in third. Tuga has moved up to fourth with 2,273. And Mo Alba rounds up at the top five with 2,095. Global Series points. Right, let's move on to the next Foot Champions Cup, which takes place this weekend. We've gone from Atlanta, and now we're off to Singapore. So a nice switch. We're going from North America all the way to Asia, and this is going to be the fifth Foot Champs Cup of the season. This is going to be an interesting tournament, looking at the players that are going to be involved in it. Qualification, I believe, took place at the start of January. We've got the list of players in front of us now, and Tim, as I look at them, it's looking to be it's looking to be a stacked lineup. Any players there that you look at straight away and you think, yeah? Yeah, they'll be there at the end.
It's interesting to see the how we've settled down. Like you say, this is the fifth Futs Champ Cup of this season, and we're seeing generally the same players coming in again and again to them. So, of this lineup, I mean, Tex is there again, so he could be an easy one to pick. But I think I'll, you know, we've spoken about him enough. I think I'll look for someone who's maybe coming back into form. So I'm going to go with Joksan would be my one to watch on the PlayStation side. So he after all, he won the opening tournament of the season, the PS4 Continental Cup back in Paris, where he beat the Stranger in the final, also knocked out Mauber along his way.
Yeah.
Reached the grand final of the Futs Champ Cup number one, so was the PlayStation winner there before being dispatched, as always, by Tex in these finals. So I think he's coming back into it, into a bit of form. It's nice to see him again at these tournaments. He'd be my one to watch.
And a big tournament as well for Joksan, because this is his first tournament under his new team, because a few days ago he announced that he had signed for US organisation Complexity. Complexity, a very big organisation in Call of Duty and in Counter-Strike as well, and now they've branched out into the FIFA scene, and Joksan is going to be their main player, certainly for competitive events. He's going to be absolutely desperate to prove a point to his new organisation. $100,000 prize pool, 20,000 global series points up for grabs as well. If you want to read the full preview for the Futs Champ Cup of Singapore, please go to our eSports Zone on www.thestatzone.com. All the information that you need is there, including our players to watch. I have a player to watch. I've predicted a winner. I'm going to mention him again. It's becoming a broken record, but we're at that point now, really, where if you don't predict F2Tex to win these events, you're going to get laughed at, because he's quite frankly the best player on the game by a mile at this point. He's won the most tournaments. He's won 3 majors now this season, 4 trophies overall if you include his LQE success, PGL Cup it was that he took home in Bucharest. In terms of majors, he has 2 Futs Champ Cups. He has the E-Club World Cup. He's qualified for Liverpool for the Premier League. The man is a machine. He is almost a robot, a winning robot.
I saw that he's trying to qualify for the E-Champions League, which is...
He has qualified for the E-Champions League.
He has. And on PlayStation.
Yeah, he has.
On his wrong console.
On his wrong console, he found a way. He was, wasn't happy with that. Sent a couple of tweets saying his hand... He was just not happy with the way his hands were hurting, not used to that console. He was asking for suggestions for if anyone could give him a link to a pad that felt like an Xbox pad but was for PS4. He was struggling there. But obviously, that wasn't going to stop him from qualifying there. And... that is not the only player that I'm going to look at, though, because that really would be just a bit too boring. I have picked out one other player to watch. It's a player that's been consistent but hasn't really quite made that next step. He's high up on the Global Series rankings and the TSZ rankings. And it's a German. It's En Razak of Rogue Esports. En Razak. He's a player that he always seems to appear in these tournaments. He always seems to make a decent run in these tournaments as well. It was the same in FIFA 18, but he has never quite made it to the end. He's never really quite made it all the way and won one of them. I believe, along with Megabit, I believe he's one of the best players out there now yet to win a trophy in FIFA 19 this season. Could this tournament finally be it? I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I think he's a good player. He's certainly got the game to do it. He's got the game to do it, but it's obviously, if he's going to, he's going to have to beat some class players to do so, the likes of, you know, Dasari or Tex or Nicholas. So he's not going to be able to do it the easy way, but I believe Tristan, he's a player that just has that potential to make that push, and he has the pedigree to do so as well.
He's one of those sort of household names, isn't he? Because we, as you said, we saw him a bit in FIFA 18 that hasn't quite made that final leap, and there are quite a few players like that now. And Tim, you said as well that we're seeing a lot of the same names cropping up here as we get to the sort of business end, I suppose, of the FIFA 19 season. And but it does seem to still seem to be the big players winning these events, you know, Nicholas, Dasari, Tex, Stefano Pinner. So yeah, we're just waiting for one of these players on the periphery, the best of the rest, as you call it at the moment, to make that extra leap.
Speaking of players to watch, do you have anyone there that's catching your eye for this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm going to look at M10 Houston. I'm quite interested to see how he performs. This will be his fourth tournament that he's qualified for. Now, his previous 3 tournaments, 2 out of the 3 of them he reached the semi-finals, the PGL Cup and the Gfinity FIFA Series January. So he's obviously quite a good performer at these offline events. Now, in both those occasions, the PGL Cup, he lost to Stefano Pinner, And at the FIFA Series January, he lost to Nicholas. So he's only really top players that are knocking him off as eliminating him from these tournaments. So I think he's due a run again. He tends to like these occasions. He's 21st in the FIFA.gg rankings, but we actually have him as 9th in our TSZ rankings ourselves. So I suppose we're predicting that he's going to perform better than the FIFA.gg rankings would suggest. So let's see how that pans out. He's quite prolific. He scores on average 3.18 goals per leg over those tournaments. Does tend to concede quite a few, 2.70 goals per leg. So that is a bit of a concern. But I'd watch out for him. I'm a little concerned by his tweet where he says he tweeted while he was on the plane on the way to Singapore, saying that he was there's 8 hours left on his journey and I'm already exhausted. So that doesn't bode well. But I'm hoping he can get a bit of rest before the tournament and go deep.
We mentioned last time with Atlanta, obviously with the time difference, you know, they're heading to Singapore this time round, going 8 hours forward from Greenwich Mean Time. Antonio Stun is Danish, so he'll be, you know, travelling a long way for it. And so how he deals with that jet lag, he's already saying he's exhausted, will probably be quite prevalent in how he performs.
He's not the only one, I don't think. There's quite a few of these qualifiers that are talking about the rigours of the travel, and we'll get onto that.
Absolutely. I suspect that may be the best. Well, I think if people are looking for, you know, straws to clutch at, I suspect that might be if Tex is not to win this tournament as well, I suspect the travel may and fatigue may play a big part in that. One more player I just quickly want to touch on before we move on is Rastorata of Sporting Lisbon. He is in form. He made it to the semi-finals of the PS4 bracket in Atlanta before being beaten by Nicholas, which was a great performance. But he's also in form online. This weekend just gone, he's qualified for the upcoming E-Champions League live event because he won 6 of his 7 qualifying games. So that's a really good run, really good run from him. His confidence must be sky high, and I suspect another high placement could be on the cards for him in Singapore. So just watch out for him because he's showing a little bit of form.
Proud in there to go out in the group stage, Alex.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Once again, if you want to check out our preview, go to www.thestatzone.com, check out our eSports Zone, and you'll find our players to watch. You'll find a prediction that I've made, and hopefully, as through quite a number of them, it will be correct. Let's move on. Best of luck to all the players that will be competing there. Let's move on to another topic. Very briefly touched on just a minute ago, regards to travel by Tristan. We always hear in our the StatZone.com podcast, we talk about one important topic that seems to be dominating the FIFA esports scene. And this one, I think, is a very important one. Maybe not being talked about, you know, as much as perhaps it should have in the past, but it recently has come to the fore following the news that Stefano Pina is going to be taking a short break from online competition. We want to talk about whether the current FIFA season is too long and is starting to take its toll on players, both, you know, physically and mentally. Those of you will all know that the FIFA 19 season is very, very long, both online and offline. If you look at all the tournaments that are taking place, you've got weekend league, you've got online qualification tournaments for the likes of the, you know, the Premier League, the Nations League, all the Foot Champs Cups, etc. You've got online domestic matches. If you play for a club, you know, that competes in a domestic league, such as the Virtual Bundesliga, the Divizie, and others. Then you've got the offline tournaments. You've got the Foot Champs Cups. You've got the LQEs. And you've got other majors such as the Club World Cup and the Nations League that will be coming up, the Champions League. Different locations as well, going from Atlanta to Singapore within 2 weeks. You know, it's a lot of travel. It's a lot of time being taken off these players. And you have to wonder whether it really is starting to, you know, to take its effect on players. We've done a bit of research into this, not only regarding just FIFA esports, but also general esports as well, other games. Tristan, I want to go to you first about this. You know, you've done a lot of work looking into this. What exactly is it that you found out about it? Some interesting snippets regarding it.
Well, as you mentioned there, I mean, you just reeled off a list of FIFA tournaments, and it is grueling, I think is the word, isn't it? If you're not at these events, you're trying to qualify for them. But I just want to take a quick detour, and there was an article on the BBC today actually about, and this is kind of general gaming, or kind of the perils of gaming addiction, I suppose. Now, we can draw parallels to esports in a moment, but this is of a bloke, James Good, who now works for a support organisation called Game Quitters, talked about an occasion where he once played for 32 hours straight without eating, sleeping or leaving his room, which is obviously not a healthy way to go about things. Now, there also was an article late last year from QZ.com, and this is more of a direct parallel with esports, is that a lot of esports players are burning out in their 20s because of this very thing you're discussing, just the absolute brutality of the schedules. And it's not just FIFA where this is prevalent. And you know, it says some of the world's top esports players work as many as 80 hours a week, with much of the time spent on marathon video game sessions that end up taking physical and mental tolls. It's known as the grind, I think, in the community. And it does cause a lot of many professional gamers to retire by their mid-20s. So, and you see that a lot with FIFA. I mean, it's mainly a kind of young players getting involved in that. Sometimes, you know, and Tex is, what, he's 17 now?
Yeah.
Dylan Mike, 16. It's very much a young person's game. It's difficult to maintain that as a long-term career, I suppose, when you get this in traditional sports as well. I just wonder if more can be done by the powers that be, I suppose, to support these players.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, in terms of the powers that be, they are on a drive, you know, to expand the scene. You know, FIFA esports is a scene with so much untapped potential. Everyone, so many people loves football, and, you know, playing FIFA for a living just sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
But you mentioned there the amount of hours being put into it. You know, you look at a full-time job.
Well,
you know,
Alex, you've got a bit of experience yourself in this, haven't you? You were formerly a professional Call of Duty player.
Yeah.
I just wondered how you found it when you were playing, going to these events, practicing, and the rigours of that involved.
It was long. You know, it was really, really long. You know, when you're playing for a team, you know, you're not playing... This maybe is a bit different in terms of FIFA, but, you know, you're not playing for yourself. You know, you're playing for a team, and as such, you can't let anyone down. And it will be the same for these FIFA players who are contracted, you know, to clubs who are paying them, you know, to play for them. And it's a hard job. You have to put in your absolute best. You have to not stop. You know, when you're qualifying for tournaments online, you have to give it everything you got for a certain amount of time. And it can be difficult. It takes a lot out of you. You know, in terms of a social life, you know, you're losing that because you're spending virtually all your time, all your free time, you know, on the console, playing, qualifying, working, as these FIFA players would say. I found it difficult personally. You know, when I had to quit playing when I was 21 years old, because if I didn't stop, I wouldn't have got my university degree, you know, and that was a result of, you know, I lost a lot of time at university, you know, in terms of, you know, being able to socialise and do other work as a result of, you know, playing Call of Duty. And that would be the same, I'm sure, with other people that may, you know, compete professionally, whether that be in FIFA or whether that be in other esports.
You talk a lot about sacrifices there. I mean, it's the same with traditional sports. I wonder how much support... You were part of a team in Call of Duty. You know, how much support did they offer? Because they do have a duty...
Very much
to look after the welfare of their players.
Very much
employers.
Support. Yeah, very much support. And they do understand, but at the same time, you want to win. And if you want to win, you play to make sure you are the very, very best that you can be. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Now, one big difference is that in terms of offline events, I never travelled to the likes of, you know, I went to places such as Amsterdam, places such as Paris, but I never travelled, you know, to Atlanta or Singapore like these players, let alone, you know, with a 2-week gap going from Atlanta to Singapore, you know, which is, for me, it's absolutely crazy. You know,
you say on the flip side, and you did mention that, you know, a lot of people would say, what an opportunity.
Oh, of course.
Getting paid to play FIFA and travelling to all these amazing places like Singapore. But it can't be forgotten that, you know, it can be tough, and that a lot of them are very young and they're not used to this kind of scene.
Of course. And health, you've got to think about your health. Your health can make a difference, you know, in terms of, you know, you don't eat properly maybe. And I know a lot of pro players in FIFA, especially older players that have been around the block a lot more, look out very carefully for what they eat and what they drink, and they make sure they're well hydrated, they make sure they eat the right things, because that's very important. And I think a lot of clubs and organisations are starting to take note of this, and they're making sure their players, you know, diet properly. Tim, you've also been researching the topic, and you found out a lot of information also, not only regarding FIFA esports, but general other esports as well.
Yeah, it basically seems to sort of mirror what the two of you have just been talking about. You know, all the esports, you know, whether it's Counter-Strike or Call of Duty, League of Legends, Dota 2, they all seem to have gone through the same period, or they have the same issue cropping up time and again, and that's the mental well-being of the players that they have. So I found a particularly interesting article written by Colin Campbell, who's a Polygon writer and gaming journalist, about Counter-Strike back in 2016. And the game there seemed to be able to draw many parallels with where FIFA currently is at the moment, and you know how big it is, how it's trying to expand into the esports community. He was talking there about how players basically are engaged in an unforgiving regime of training, travelling and competition, and fortunately had access to many of the players for this article, and they were just talking about how they're fatigued, they're stressed, there's far too many tournaments for them to go to. They're literally travelling from one event to another in a situation whereby they've not even got enough time to train, you know, 4 hours maybe training a day, 6 hours training with the team, but they've not got time to even do that because of the amount of events that we're on. And you've got to think about how the clubs are set up to help deal with it. Unlike in, say, more traditional sports where, you know, they've been around for decades, they have a situation whereby they can look at a player's optimal training techniques, they can look at the psychological effects it's having, they can have people there to help them with it. The esports community seems to be not as well resourced in this area, and a player's well-being and mental well-being has to be at the forefront of what they're doing.
Good point, Tim. I mean, it's part of becoming a more professional around is to take this more holistic approach, really. And whilst, of course, you can see that they want to expand into new territories and new areas, new countries, because it's going to increase the reach and obviously make a lot of money, you've got to be looking at the players that have got you there in the first place and how they're coping with this.
Well, I want to bring up a tweet I mentioned earlier about Stefano Pina taking a short break from online competition. I think a very well-respected veteran of the scene, Aggie, August Rosenmeyer of the North, made a really good tweet, I think, in response to this, and I fully agree with it. And I'm going to say it now, and I quote, "Stefano is not the only player who needs a break. The system is completely different from the other years, with no time to relax at all if you want to go to the FIFA E-World Cup. Other players can't take a break to prevent burnout because they aren't qualified for the World Cup as Stefano is." And he's spot on, because Stefano has a trophy to his name. He won an LQE and he's had many, you know, late finishes in major tournaments so far this season. So he's in a position, you know, where he can afford to take a break. There are many players out there, you know, that are trying to qualify for tournaments. They're playing every weekend. They're burned out. They're tired. But they have to keep playing because they haven't qualified, you know, for these tournaments. And they're scrapping for every single Global Series point they can get. So
I think when it comes from a player like Aggie, who's very respected, as you say, you know, he's been in the scene longer than the vast majority of these players, You'd hope that might hold some weight.
There's an issue, yeah, absolutely. When someone like him is coming out with that, there is definitely an issue. I have a couple of suggestions in terms of a solution. You know, you look at certain football leagues, such as the Bundesliga being a classic example, you know, they have a winter break. You look at the Premier League, who don't have one, but one is, you know, looking like it's going to be implemented in the very near future. You know, it's been a discussion, you know, for many years now in terms of, you know, a winter break is needed. Should a scheduled mid-season break perhaps be implemented on FIFA 19, Tristan? Is that viable? Is that something that you think EA Sports should look at and think, you know, is there a spot maybe, I don't know, in March or February that maybe they could just, players could take a month off or something like that from any competition?
I certainly think a period to allow the players to sort of rest, recuperate and come back refreshed can only be for the good of the eSport and for FIFA in general. Now, I guess the conflict comes up from the fact that there are many different tournament organisers that want their tournament to be staged, like Gfinity, like E-League, like PGL. And is there enough time to fit all these tournaments in the schedule, in the cycle of one FIFA game? So many conflicting interests, I think, come into play here. But yeah, from the players' perspective, I think they'd welcome, from the tweets you've read out and for other things I've seen on social media, they would definitely welcome a break to come back, and I think it'd actually improve the level of play, to be honest.
Agreed, yeah. Look, you can throw as much money at it as you want, but at the end of the day, and this has to be number one, the player's health, well-being must come first.
Yeah. I think we should say also, this: not every player will think this. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of players there that are dealing with this or coping with the schedule perfectly fine, and everyone's different, so there might be some players that think there doesn't need to be any change, so it's just finding a balance, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's about having the support network in place for those players that are struggling with it.
Okay, that's a topic we may come up with again and may speak about in the future, in a future podcast, in my opinion. I think that's a very, very important topic. I think it's something that we've not heard the last of. Will more players, you know, follow in the future in terms of needing to take breaks? We'll have to see, but it's something that we're definitely not going to, you know, leave alone. I think you expect to hear more about that in the future regarding the FIFA esports scene in particular. Okay, a quick general roundup from me now before we finish. Basically looking at all the news that's taken place over the past week or so in the FIFA esports scene, because there's been quite a bit of news. First off, the Premier League, e-Premier League qualifiers, they are almost done now. Over three quarters of Premier League teams have their two players who have qualified for the e-Premier League, which takes place at the Gfinity Arena at the end of March. Today is the Huddersfield Town qualifier, which is taking place at Huddersfield, Huddersfield Stadium, formerly the John Smith Stadium. I think it's another...
Today being another, Wednesday at the time of recording.
Yeah, Wednesday at the time of recording. Tomorrow, I believe, Burnley have their qualifiers. And then after Burnley, I think there's only Watford to go. And then I think we are done in terms of we have all the qualifiers for the Premier League. You can find the full list of players who have qualified for the Premier League and what club they are playing for on www.thestatzone.com. Again, go to our eSports Zone and you can find the article with a full list.
A full list on Friday.
Full list of players, yeah. Friday will be a complete list of every single player who has qualified, because that's when all the qualifiers will have finished. But there are some big names in there. Hashtag Ryan is there. As far as I know, F2Tex is there representing Liverpool. Tristan, very happy with that, of course.
Delighted.
I said earlier, probably Liverpool's best chance of the Premier League this season. We will see.
Although I quite like the fact there are some newcomers or unknown quantities, I guess, coming through and will feature for these teams.
Well, very much so. I think, look, none other than Manchester United, you know, the big one. Spencer Gorilla Edling as well, the 2017 FIWC or FIFA E-World Cup winner, did not qualify for Manchester United. He lost out, and two free agents have qualified for that one. You can, again, you can find out who these players are on our eSports Zone. Just go and have a look at the article. There's been a couple of moves in the transfer market, so to speak, in terms of players joining brand new clubs and organisations. Earlier, we spoke about Joksan joining the organisation Complexity. He left Epsilon earlier in the season when his contract expires, and a fantastic move for him joining Complexity, a big organisation. He's not the only one that's made a move this week. Also making a move is Yago, the Argentinian, following his good run in the Foot Champs Cup in Atlanta. He has signed for Team Bundled, so a good move for Yago. We wish him the very best with that. Some other news, the EMLS Cup has a date and a location. It's taking place at the Castle in Boston, Massachusetts. Once again, the EMLS Cup taking place in Boston. It's going to take place on the 30th of March, so around the same time as the E-Premier League. This weekend just gone, 64 players have qualified for the E-Champions League LAN event, which will take place on PS4 only in Manchester. That will take place on April the 26th in Manchester. Look out for that coming forward. We'll be bringing you coverage of that, of course, here on the Statso. The top eight from that tournament will go on to the grand finals of the Champions League in Madrid on May the 31st, which, of course, is the day before the Champions League final. One more point to mention, online qualifications for the E-Lions begins next weekend. The E-Lions is the name of the England FIFA 19 national team. They've called it the E-Lions of the FA.
You're going to try and qualify, Alex?
Well, I think it would be too easy for me. I think it's best that I stay on the sidelines and do what I do best, which is writing about it rather than playing. But that takes place next weekend, online qualification. Players are competing for the chance to represent England in the E-Nations League. It's completely free to play. It's being run by ESL, a well-known, respected esports tournament organiser. Go to the FA website, Football Association website, for more information on that. I believe a certain amount of players will qualify for a live event which takes place in London, and then the top two from that event will qualify to become an E-Lion and represent England in the E-Nations League, which of course is invitational only, where we'll be seeing countries from all over the world taking place. Right, that is a long podcast. I think we have got through everything here, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks very much, you two, Tristan, Tim.
See you next
time.
Cheers.
And we will be back soon for our fourth podcast. We'll fly through them now that we've got through. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and we will see you all very soon.
Brought to you by the Stat Zone.